the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Johnny.
Good to see you.
Johnny, straight from Bush, Louisiana. Good to have you.
Yeah, we're over here frying eggs and bacon on our sidewalk this morning already.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
It's true. It is true.
Oh, boy. Hey, you know, we're celebrating St. Thomas More today. What a wonderful story, and how it fits so well into our gospel today. We're going to hear a lot about St. Thomas More later from Father Alello. But there's a prayer that Thomas More had, and it relates actually today to our gospel regarding false prophets. So here's our prayer this morning from St. Thomas More. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious God, give me your grace so as to consider the punishment of that false great council that gathered together against you, that I never, to your displeasure, be partner nor give my assent to follow the sinful device of any wicked council. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Johnny. We will learn more about St. Thomas More of our saint of the day, but we're also going to be joined by Father Michael Alello. He's a pastor of St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge. He's going to talk about the feast day. We want to get a parish update. That is one thriving parish in the Diocese of Baton Rouge is St. Thomas More. They've done so much and they continue to do that as well. Peter Finney is the editor of the Clarion Herald. He'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And he has some wonderful announcements to tell us about, especially one that I saw about St. Stephen's Church. Yes. And they're kind of getting a little upgrade. So we'll talk about that in about 18 minutes with Peter. And 48 minutes, Father Lawrence Carney joins us to talk about his book called The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. You guys, the cover of this book is absolutely breathtaking. I'm looking forward to speaking to Father Carney about this. Alicia, it's going to be a great one.
Right, it is. I'm looking forward to that, too. So y'all just get ready. Johnny is right. You will be able to fry some eggs and bacon on your sidewalk today, but I would not suggest doing it. There is a heat advisory in effect today, starting at 10 a.m. through tonight to about 7 p.m., and that's because the heat index, are you ready for this? The heat index values will be up to 111 today. So, the temperatures will be in the upper 90s, but that heat index, you know, is what gets us. So, do be aware of that. And, you know, sometimes in the afternoon, I see people mow in the morning or at night. It's really going to be a hot one. So, stay hydrated. If you're in Baton Rouge, we already hit 100% humidity this morning, so Jeff and I were talking about how it's a little swampy outside, but it is fair and 73 degrees in Baton Rouge. It's also 73 in Bush, Louisiana, 79 in Biloxi, and in New Orleans, our warm spot at 84 degrees. Surprisingly enough, New Orleans is not at that 100% humidity yet this morning. So anyway, do be cautious. It will be a hot one today. So run your errands this morning. We'll be back after the break with today's gospel and Johnny's reflection. It is 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
A good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them.
Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, you know, with grandkids, we're always telling stories. And there's the fable. One of them is the fable about the wolf and the four oxen. And the wolf used to prowl about the field where the oxen were. And whenever the wolf would come around, the oxen would put their tails to each other and have their horns always facing outward. So wolf had a tough time getting to them. But the wolf decided that he's come up with a plan here. And he told each ox lies in order to sow envy and division and hatred. And he'd say things like, hey, the other one's eating while you're watching me. Or, you know, hey, that one said he's a higher class of ox than you. Make remarks about the better colors of their hides, whatever. Pretty soon these oxen started arguing with one another and they all got mad and went off and stomped into the corners of the field. And well, you know how that went with the wolf at easy pickings one by one. Going to come back to wolf and sheep's clothing as it relates to that in a minute. But you know, the scripture tells us that there's three indicators of bad fruit that call out these false prophets. First, error, and second, division, and then immorality, and usually all three in that order. And so that brings us to our times. What our Lord taught is still so strongly applies, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And I was looking at, you know, there's actually a film, a docudrama that recently came out. I think it was 2016. It was called A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. You guys remember this? Mm-hmm. It was the story of Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky, as you may know, is the father of community organizing, and he's kind of credited with the rise of cultural Marxism. Mm-hmm. And of course, Marxism and its smaller brother, socialism, are direct enemies of Mother Church. Mm-hmm. So his goal was to restructure society, to make the church subservient to the state. And he cleverly disguised all these intentions with nice-sounding reasons and intentions. Someone said he looked like a gray wolf, neither obviously black nor white. Mm-hmm. So among his many so-called rules for radicals to do this and destroy the church, he said this, for example, he said, "Let us give acknowledgement to the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least got his own kingdom, and that would be Lucifer," unquote. Mm, yes. He says Lucifer was his role model. Everything comes from the fall of Eden, right? Mm-hmm. He said the first step in community organization is community disorganization. The first job is to create the issues or create the problems, and then you do what you can, clothe it in moral garments, then next rub raw the sores of discontent, and of course he would say the end justifies any means whatsoever. So what's the solution? Well, let's turn to our Lord today. He gives us this simple but profound test. You know, it's sort of like, forget the words of these false prophets. Forget their passions, their feelings, their stated intentions, because they're going to dress them up. Don't worry about judging them. Jesus says, I'll take care of that. What do you do? Ask the question, what is the fruit? Is it error? Is it division and immorality? Or is it one or more of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit? And those are listed in paragraph 1832 of the Catechism. Check those out. 12 of them, by the way, no coincidence that it's tied to the 12 apostles, because we need to look to the truth as handed on from our Lord to his apostles and the church that he founded, the Magisterium. So it's quite fair then to say, let's look at the fruits of in society today. So-called, it's good to ask these questions and compare the fruit. So-called reproductive rights that ends in an innocent human life, that's rotten fruit, is it not? Right. How about life for both bodies instead? How about self-control, peace, or promoting sexual lifestyles that result in higher rates of suicides, disease, depression, shorter lifespans. That's not to be celebrated. That's rotten fruit. How about the gifts, the fruits of chastity, modesty? In fact, even in my own company, it's actually promoting these lifestyles under its health policies. Oh. It's exactly the opposite of that. How about gender affirmation that disrupts a child's natural development, mutilates a body? That's evil. That's rotten fruit. Social justice programs that are really justified socialism, and these programs end in destruction of families, fatherlessness, dependency. How about generosity and dignity instead? Restricting free speech in the name of diversity and tolerance. This goes on and on. How about, you know, kindness and faithfulness? These types of things only result in losses of freedom. And this goes on to so many other aspects to look at the fruit. We don't have to get personal. We don't have to get nasty. We don't have to do any of that. Judge them by what the results truly are. So back to some of these stories of the wolf, these children's stories. You know, Little Red Riding Hood was saved by a woodcutter. I call him a carpenter. The wolf in sheep's clothing was saved by none other than the Good Shepherd. So there's a theme here, you know? And it comes back to this, really, ultimately. The source of all good fruit is Jesus Christ. And if there's any confusion on what is actually good or rotten, look to the Lord, look to the God-man, look to the Son of God. And with respect to the fruit also, he drank the fruit of the vine on the cross, and it flows out still to us at every Mass, his body, his blood, soul, and divinity to us. All good fruit, then, all those fruits of the Holy Spirit are flowing off that Eucharistic table. And that is where we need to be with respect to judging the true fruit. We can judge all other fruit in the world from that viewpoint. And then give the world far better choices. That's the thing. You judge the fruit and offer a much greater opportunities for life, for dignity, and for hope. So beware out there. Well, it's quarter past the hour. Peter Finney's going to be joining us next. Stay with us. Got a lot more for you. Be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 22nd. Today we celebrate St. Thomas More. His belief that no lay ruler has authority over the Church of Christ cost Thomas More his life. He was beheaded on London's Tower Hill in July of 1535. His crime was refusing to approve King Henry VIII's divorce and remarriage and establishment of the Church of England. Thomas More was indeed a man for all seasons. He was a literary scholar, eminent lawyer, gentleman, father of four children, Chancellor of England, and lay Franciscan. He was known for his intelligence and wit, as well as his integrity and loyalty. A deeply spiritual man, he believed that true allegiance to authority is not blind acceptance of everything that authority wants. King Henry himself realized this and tried desperately to win his chancellor to his side because he knew Thomas More was a man of integrity. When it became clear he could not be won over, Henry felt he had to get rid of him. In 1935, 400 years after his death, Thomas More was canonized a saint. In 2000, Pope John Paul II named him patron saint of politicians. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. Our first guest is Peter Finney. He is the editor of the Clarion Herald, and he's going to give us an update of what you're going to find in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, how are you, Gabby?
I am doing great. And okay, this is a great issue. So much excitement and positivity in the Archdiocese. So many things happening this summer. It's great. Let's talk about the Vatican has announced something quite spectacular for St. Stephen Church right there in Uptown New Orleans on Napoleon Avenue. So tell us what that announcement is.
Yeah, Gabby, it's really great news. St. Stephen Church on Napoleon Avenue, wonderful church. It was actually dedicated in 1888, but a gorgeous church. It has been designated by the Vatican's dicastery for divine worship and the discipline of the sacraments as a minor basilica. And that is one of only 90 churches in the entire United States that has that status. That includes, of course, St. Louis Cathedral, which is a minor basilica, and that remains the seat, of course, of the Archdiocese. It has the Archbishop's cathedra, his chair, and it's where the Archbishop has his home church. But St. Stephen will now become a minor basilica. There'll be a mass of thanksgiving to celebrate this designation on June 28th, which is at 6 p.m., the vigil of the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. So Monsignor Christopher Nolte will be the principal celebrant. And people ask, what is a basilica? Well, there are what is known as four. There are major basilicas and minor basilicas. There are four major basilicas in Rome, which are tied to the Pope. And the others, basilicas, are churches that either have, for some historic reason or relics or other kind of activity, the Vatican has a special tie with that church. And so part of the process is very interesting. Monsignor Nolte is commissioned what they call the bells and the umbrella. The umbrella has a kind of a coat of arms for the new basilica. And the umbrella, the idea is, back in the old days when the Pope was maybe walking through Rome, the umbrella was used to kind of shield the Pope, to kind of keep the sun out of his eyes, that kind of thing. And it became a symbolic a symbol of a basilica. So he is getting an umbrella, and there'll be a kind of a fancy bell that kind of precedes processions on feast days and things like that. So the whole idea, Monsignor Nolte said, the reason he sought this status was to be able to share the church with more people. He wants to keep the church open during the day, and he believes that as a basilica, there'll be naturally more interest in people coming to the church. And also, he wants to create a pilgrim trail, other historic New Orleans Catholic sites where people could visit St. Stephen's, then go down, to St. Francis Xavier Silos Center, the St. Louis Cathedral, the old Ursuline Convent. So kind of tie it all together, be like a pilgrim trail for tourists, not only in New Orleans, but people from outside of the state and the country. So he's really, really excited about this.
That's great.
My goodness. So, yes, that's great. Starting uptown, making your way to the quarter, hitting those wonderful places in New Orleans. Okay, I guess I would say Monsignor Nolte being excited is an understatement.
That's right. He thought this idea came up to him after the renovation of the church, which was completed in 2018, and then the pandemic slowed everything down. But he was really amazed that it moved. Once the application was sent in, and he sent in all the paperwork, it went pretty quickly. So he's very excited.
My goodness. Okay, I saw a wonderful pictures on Facebook of a second line for Father Wehner. tell us, his time at Notre Dame Seminary has come to an end.
Yes, Father Jim Wehner, he really has been a great guy. For 10 years, he's been the president and rector of Notre Dame Seminary. And in that time, he estimates 200 men have gone on to the priesthood. So he said, when you think back at that, he said, what an impact that has had on the church, especially in the Gulf South. There are many dioceses in the Gulf South that send their seminarians to Notre Dame Seminary to study. And actually, since he began in 2012, many, many more dioceses have sent seminarians to study and to be formed at Notre Dame Seminary. And so it's really the bishops around the country have recognized that Notre Dame has certainly the faculty, the formation program that they have installed, and just the general the leadership that Father Wehner has provided has been incredible. So he is going back to his native diocese of Pittsburgh, and actually he's going to be the pastor of. They've gone through some restructuring, and they're three parishes have melded into one, and this is a in the circumference of his parish is 220 miles, if you can believe it, and there's 20,000 Catholics in this parish, so it will be the largest parish in Pittsburgh, in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, but he'll be a great pastor. He's looking forward to being a pastor. Most of his priestly ministry has been in seminary formation and things like that, so he's looking forward to becoming a pastor and serving the people in that way.
I'm sure he's excited to get back into Steeler country as well. So he loves his Pittsburgh Steelers. So he'll be back. And oh my gosh, that weather change will be dramatic as well. So to get back into that northern weather. But tell us, what is next for Notre Dame Seminary?
Well, Father Josh Rodrigue will officially take over on July 1st. And Father Josh, of course, he's a priest of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And for the last, I think, 5 years or so, he's been on the faculty at the Pontifical College North American College in Rome, the kind of a major seminary in Rome, and he comes back to Notre Dame, and obviously he's coming into a very strong a program. Notre Dame Seminary is the second largest theologate in the entire country, so but Father Josh is excited. In fact, I believe he's already in town, and he's been sharing messages with Father Wehner every day, and so the transition will be, you know, fairly seamless. But looking forward to dealing with him. He's a very wonderful, caring pastoral priest, and I know that the seminarians are going to really enjoy his leadership.
Yeah, Notre Dame Seminary is always so impressive. So to see that and continue to see that, it'll be great. Looking forward to getting updates from you about that as well. Peter, let's talk about this. The June 25th issue is also spotlighting Saints President Dennis Lasha, which we interviewed him not too long ago, and it was such a great interview. So tell us a little bit more about this part.
Yeah, you know, Dennis, he's a 1987 graduate of Jesuit High School, and the funny story is he was 28 years old, and he was a CPA working for Arthur Anderson, and one of his jobs was to audit the New Orleans Saints. Something a little crazy came into the NFL called the salary cap, and every team had to be audited to make sure they were doing things correctly. Well, so he had no relation to the Saints except for this audit, but he caught the eye of Tom Benson, and one thing led to another, and Tom Benson asked him if he would like to become his chief financial officer. And this was at the age of 28. And so he asked Mr. Benson, he said, you sure you want to have a 28-year-old CFO? And he said, listen, let me just tell you something. I had my first car dealership when I was 28. And Dennis has gone on to become the president of both the Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans. And the interesting thing really is, especially for Catholics in this area, the amount of community service that the Saints have done, you know, once they came back after Katrina and all that chaos, they came back with full guns, and they really said, we're going to make a difference in the community. And over the last how many years, the Gail and Tom Benson Charitable Foundation has contributed probably close to $200 million to different organizations around the state and the city. Mm. So Dennis gave a talk at Immaculate Conception Church, talked about his Catholic education and why it is important to give back and to be good corporate citizens. So the Saints and Pelicans have really done that, and they're to be, and you know, and Gail Benson certainly has just fostered that tremendously in the time since her husband's death in 2018. So they've been always looking forward to the community, and they're a positive community presence.
Mm-hmm. They sure are. Peter, we have about a minute left. What is your favorite story in this issue?
It's a very interesting story. We have also have a bridal registry section in this issue, and the Vatican has issued a new guidelines, which are going to be coming out in the next several months, to update and maybe firm up even more marriage preparation. So right now, marriage preparation is usually about a 6 to 8 month process. The Vatican is trying to say, hey, let's do a little bit more preparation on the front end to help couples prepare for the sacrament of matrimony, and then also walk with them in the early years of marriage, where, as we all know, those first few years of marriage can be fraught with difficulties and challenges. So the Archdiocese is going to be evaluating this these guidelines when they actually do come out officially. But look for that to, you know, to be updated in the near future.
Wow, that's very important. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. I'm sure a lot of brides, especially in the New Orleans area, I mean, you have to book almost 2 years in advance to get your what you want in
that's
the
right.
city of New Orleans
well,
for your wedding. But
that's right. Mm-hmm. It really, you know, it's all about, you know, it's not just a day. Certainly, it's a life and a lifetime
yeah.
commitment. So that's the whole idea about the Vatican, their
yes.
program.
Pick up your copy at church this weekend in the Archdiocese, or you can go to clarionherald.org. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Gabby.
Absolutely. Father Michael Alello with St. Thomas More Parish in Baton Rouge joins us right after the break. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Dr. Michael New is again taking apart abortion industry research conclusions. Those conclusions blame 3 years of short-term abortion number increases on Trump White House policy. The pro-life researcher from the Charlotte Lozier Institute says a more likely culprit was chemical abortion numbers. Tragically, another long-term study from Lozier Institute shows those chemical abortions have contributed to a 500% increase in ER visits for post-abortion women. Planned Parenthood is fighting to keep decisions about abortion restrictions away from voters or elected representatives. President Alexis McGill Johnson's latest rhetoric ignores 14 polls showing strong support for abortion restrictions to contend that just a small minority of people want legal protections for babies in the womb. This is Life News Radio.
News at Life News Radio should make you think, and often it should make you think about calling your elected officials in Washington, D.C. So remember this phone number, 202-224-3121. Let your senators, your representatives, hear from you. 202-224-3121.
Perhaps the most famous abortion myth is that abortion makes for personal success and that this somehow translates into a robust economy. But that is being countered by new numbers from abortion opponents in Congress. The cost, because abortion eliminates persons, is $6.9 trillion, or 32% of U.S. gross domestic product annually. The next time you can't find a product or solution, think of that 32% number. Abortion is costly. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and direct from Bush, Louisiana, Johnny Abair. We're happy you're taking us along with you this morning. Today is the feast of St. Thomas More, and we're happy to have joining us today a pastor of St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge, also known as Father Iron Man, Father Michael Alello. Good morning, Father Michael.
Good morning, everybody.
We're so happy to have you on this morning. There's so much we could talk about. If you would like to know more about Father Michael and his recent adventure as an Ironman athlete, you can check out the Catholic Commentator in retail outlets and in the back of churches in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. That was pretty awesome.
It was a good day. It was a long day, but it was a good day.
Good.
140.3 miles in a day. You know, hey, the body is made
what?
For amazing things if we let it.
Gosh, just another day at the office for you, right?
That's right. I'm just, you know, used to all that, right?
That's
running
right.
In circles.
That's right. So you have a lot going on. Before we get into St. Thomas More the man, tell us an update on St. Thomas More the parish in Baton Rouge.
So great things continuing to happen at STM. We are excited that our building project continues to move forward ever so slowly. If you watch paint dry on a wall, that's what I feel like most days.
Mm-hmm.
But things are moving along. We finished our new office building. Our church plaza is done. We might have access to our new church bathrooms in the next week or so.
Wow.
And yesterday they set the bowl for our new baptismal font, which is part of the interior work we're doing on the church to give old girl a nice little freshen up.
Yes, it's beautiful. So in the next couple of weeks, the old rectory and parish office comes down. Is that right? Or
It will go to see the Lord, yes. It will disappear, and when you drive on our campus for the first time in its history, you'll actually be able to see our church when you drive up. So we're pretty excited about that.
That's wonderful. And St. Thomas More will be perched out there, right? In the plaza?
St. Thomas will be perched. Interestingly enough, our parish is named for our patron, and yet we have no depictions of Thomas More anywhere in the church. So we're working on that. We have a brand new bronze sculpture that will greet folks as they enter our new plaza, and then we'll have a new statue of the man himself in a specific devotional area within the church as we do the renovation. So bringing Thomas More to the parish for the first time in the history of the church. Yeah, so that's interesting.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's great.
So tell us, so today is the Feast of St. Thomas More. Talk a little bit about the man.
Well, the man is quite the interesting character. If you go back, let's state for the obvious, if you've ever seen any images of Thomas More, history has not done the man justice. His depictions are quite terrible, honestly. But his history is rather interesting. Thomas More came from a very, very wealthy family in England and was highly educated for the time. I think his birthday is somewhere around the end of the 1400s. Mm-hmm. And he went to school. He went to Oxford. He became a lawyer. He went on to King Henry VIII, if my history is correct, was the king at the time of England. And he went on to serve the king in several different capacities. But the king kind of got sideways with Mother Church. And Thomas More found himself in a very interesting position. He would either support the king or support the church. Mm-hmm. And he decided that his allegiance and his integrity led him to support the church, which ultimately led him to the king being generous, and instead of, I think his sentence I heard recently was reduced to just decapitation.
Right.
So the king was generous, so they say.
Yes.
So a very interesting story, but he was close to a Carthusian monastery there in England that he found a lot of peace in that place and would come to find the importance of his faith in his journey. And that was an important part of his life.
Right. He actually considered for some time joining that monastery. Is that right?
That monastery. Yeah. I think that is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he had a family and a wife and I think four children, maybe. So that might have been complicating for things, but I don't know. Back in those days, maybe that was the okay deal.
Right. I think the contemplation came before the wife and kids, but I could be wrong.
Isn't that how it's supposed to work? I don't know. Alicia, you tell me.
I think so. He's the patron saint of adopted children, lawyers, civil servants, politicians, and difficult marriages, which I think is an interesting combination. Right?
Yeah, there's a thread running through there as I see the complicated marriages, lawyers, and the sign that says affordable divorce on the bus bench next to St. Thomas More every week I run into, you know?
There you go.
So it always makes me wonder, affordable divorce, I think there's something, I don't know.
Right.
But it's an interesting combo of folks, adopted children, lawyers, politicians, and difficult marriages. If that's not a ever so necessary mix for today, I don't know. I think Thomas More could become the national patron at this moment, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe we need to let him be our lead in the days ahead.
I agree with you. And I always think of St. Thomas More as being so scholarly, and surprisingly enough, he isn't the patron of, you know, of any kind of academic studies. But it seems like he often is linked with, you know, I think he had some readings that were pretty scholarly. And
well, that's why I was made the pastor of Thomas More, Alicia, because just like Thomas More, I don't have a whole lot of scholarly attributes, you know. So we're at least dancing in the same dance floor there. So that's good.
Well, speaking of scholarly, tell us what's going on at St. Thomas More School. You have early learning pre-K? No, before that.
Yeah, so we start from 12 weeks old. You can bring your babies to us, and we'll teach them about Jesus at 12 weeks, or at least we'll hold them and love them like Jesus would, as I like to think. And, 12 weeks on through 8th grade now, And our school has been in existence since the 60s and has served the Baton Rouge community for many, many years. Lots of exciting things continuing to happen on our school campus. I think everybody is glad that the last school year has ended across schools. Everybody took a big sigh of relief. We made it through the second COVID year, and everybody's looking forward to the break. I think our teachers and students are all taking a deep breath and relaxing a little bit. At least I hope they are.
Yes.
But we're excited and planning for the new school year ahead. You know, summer is a great time for schools to kind of freshen up their campuses.
Yes.
And work with their faculty and staff on some continuing ed things and just kind of prepare for what's next. As those who have children know, children constantly need attention. They constantly need stimulation. So we're always trying to prepare ourselves for what's coming down the pike on the school system side. And excited, if you're looking for a school in Baton Rouge, we'd love to have you come tour campus. We still have seats available and would love to have you or your family members come and check it out.
And can you tell us, Father Michael, where folks can go to find out more information about St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge?
It's quite easy. It is stmbr.org. That's our website. You can see the school there. You can see the church there. If you're bored and like to look at social media, we have quite the social media presence for St. Thomas More and through my own personal social media, Padre Hooch, on Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebooks.
All right.
So, you know, we love to do the social media. It's,
you're good at it.
I try to tell people, I'm good at it. I just share my life with folks. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for people to see the priest as not just the person in the sanctuary, but the guy that's got a life and a family and loves to do a lot of the things that they might love to do or the things that they think are crazy, like an Ironman. So,
There you go.
Just depends on what your fancy is.
It sounds like you're fixing your coffee cup to go.
I'm washing my breakfast dishes. Sorry, I didn't think about that.
I knew it.
That's okay. I didn't know if you're feeding the dog or fixing your coffee.
No, sorry. I'm just doing my morning stuff here, getting my breakfast ready, doing the dishes before I go to the office, and forgot I was on the radio.
That's okay. Just having a conversation.
You know, it's like I was just saying, you need to understand that the priest is a human too. He does his own dishes and makes his own breakfast, right?
There you go. There you go.
Oh, goodness.
Father Michael O'Lellett.
You're not going to let me forget that, Alicia.
It's all good. Father, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Father Michael O'Lellett, pastor at St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge. Check it out, stmbr.org. It's 15 minutes before the hour.
And it's 12 till the top of the hour. Good to have you with us on Wake Up This Morning. And we are talking about all things St. Thomas More. We're talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. And boy, that ties in so well to our next guest, our next topic. Mm-hmm. Joining us this morning, Father Lawrence Carney. Good morning, Father.
Well, good morning.
It's good to have you with us. We're excited to talk about your book, The Secret of the Holy Face, the Devotion Destined to Save Society. But before we jump into that, tell us a little about yourself, Father, and your ministry, where you're located, and why you're drawn to this topic.
Sure. I'm a chaplain of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, and I'm out in Gower, Missouri. And I say the Latin Mass for them, and they're very beautiful. They chant the Divine Office. And then in my free time, I go and walk the streets of the city, and I also do parish missions. So I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. I'm about 46 years old and been a priest for 15 years.
Wow. In the heartland there. So this topic, the secret of the Holy Face, the devotion destined to save society. What is the story here? You know, what's behind this? What is the story about the Holy Face, and how it ties into what we're dealing with in society today?
Good question. So the Holy Face is always old, always new. So what happened in the 1840s? A Carmelite, Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre, in Tours, France, received revelations from Jesus Christ. And Jesus was telling her, my father is greatly offended for the sins of blasphemy and for profanation of Sundays, working on Sundays and holy days of obligation. So our Lord said that we as France needs to change this, but as a society in the world, we need to change this. Otherwise, God's going to send revolutionary men to punish us. Like, and he even mentioned by name communists. So this Sister Mary St. Pierre was a quiet Carmelite in Tours, France, and she died in the odor of sanctity. And then about 40 years later, her revelations were approved by Pope Leo XIII in 1885, and it made an arch-confraternity the Holy Faith. And basically, these revelations are a blueprint of how to get ourselves out of this mess in society that we have. Because basically, we're mocking God as a human family in general. Just imagine if we had a good general, but we were blaspheming him. How, you know, as military, how could we fight against enemies if we're having civil war? So God is telling us through her and this devotion that we need to give honor to the holy name of God, and we need to go back to reparation, reverence, and to bringing souls back, reversion. So I hope that helps to answer that question for you.
Right, right. And now I think you mentioned a venerable Leo DuPont in his warnings as well. How does he tie into this?
Yes, he was a very holy man. He grew up in Martinique, the Caribbean islands, and when he moved to France, he would hear blasphemy and he would pop people in the ear with his fist, because the laws of St. Leo the Ninth were still in effect on the island of Martinique. But when he went to France, he discovered the French Revolution just erupted with blasphemy. So he would hit people. And he had such a devotion to the holy name of God that he would tell people that to stop it because you're offending me. And he would be called the holy man of Tours because he would walk around to see churches and make visits to the Blessed Sacrament, and also to churches that were destroyed by the French Revolution. He would visit them and kneel down and pray. But the most important thing is he was very close to Sister Mary St. Peter and promoted her revelations. And he got a copy of the Veil of Veronica, which was touched to the veil in Rome, and he put it up in his drawing room where he was a lawyer. And people started coming to him to pray for, pains and ailments and limbs that were not working. And he would take the olive oil that was burning in the lamp and bless them with it, and people would have cures. And there was over 6,000 certified cures. And that shows us this devotion has a great potential in the future. And Sister was receiving our Lord's revelations, telling her that this may not take off right now, but in the future, there's going to be apostles that are really going to promote this devotion. But right now, it needs to have a good standing in the church, a canonical standing. So it's really an awesome thing. It's like finding a treasure in the dirt, and you uncover it and you find all these treasures in the treasure chest. So that's why It's a secret. The Holy Faith is a secret, and it's coming out because this devotion is for our times, and the main point of it is reparation. And Blessed Pius IX said that the reparation is destined to save society. So that's why I subtitled my book, The Devotion Destined to Save Society, because this is all about reparation, because we need to repair the relationship we have between God and ourselves, and the best image of that is to the face of Jesus, to the face of God.
That's very powerful. We're talking with Father Lawrence Carney about the book, The Secret of the Holy Face, The Devotion Destined to Save Society. And Father, real quick, got a couple minutes left, but the evil one seems to even I mean, not just society. We're talking about Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals earlier, but even his plan, the evil one's plan, to infiltrate the church as well. And I think your book also touches on that and how we can be purified using this devotion, right?
Yes, that's right. So the infiltration is basically a punishment from God, because he told Sister, I'm going to send revolutionary men as a punishment. Not like I did in the past, where it'd be tempests and storms and earthquakes, but I'm going to send revolutionary men to punish human society for these offenses. So this devotion is a clarion call for Catholics to be the best that they can be at, and that is to get on their knees, to look at this devotion and see the instructions and follow it to get ourselves out of this mess, and then the infiltration will be destroyed, because God is the one punishing us. So if we get the ear of God, he's the one that will take care of that for us. But we have to pray. Mm.
Amen. Well, Father, where can people get a copy of the book, The Secret of the Holy Face?
They can go to Tan Publishers, and it's for sale now. It was released yesterday, so people can go buy it from them directly.
Wow. Hot off the press. That's great, Father. Well, Father, could we ask you one more indulgence here, and that is your priestly blessing on our audience, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yes, here it is. Benedictio de omnipotentis, patris et filii et spiritus sancti, et super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, so much from the heartland. Looking forward to hearing more from you in the future. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yes, stay in touch. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, sir.
Wow. My goodness. What a great interview. Thank you so much, Donnie. Yes, and thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have events in your listening area. Dr. Paul Thigpen joins us to talk about extraterrestrial intelligence and the Catholic faith, how those two coincide. Dina Dow and Sue Weischer will join us from Loyola University New Orleans. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.